I am so happy that you're here. If this is your first time or your 501st time or somewhere in between, welcome. It's beautiful to see so many beautiful, smiling faces. If this is your first time, you know that we really like to invest in getting to know each other. And we're going to put that to practice right now. See a lot of empty spots. If you guys can all just kind of squeeze towards the middle, get to know your neighbor, invest in them for the next 45 minutes at least. Just everybody move in because we have more people coming, we know, and we want to have seats for everybody. So if you could just kind of squeeze towards the middle, we'd appreciate it. All right. So I just have a couple of announcements. Again, welcome everybody. Bienvenidos a todos. Es la primera vez que vienen. Bienvenidos. We're very happy to see you here. If someone's brought you, thank you for bringing somebody. Hopefully you guys saw the yard signs throughout Whittier and around and got a flyer inviting you, and you are absolutely welcome. If this is your first time, I have these beautiful purple bags that you're going to see right at the front. And you're probably wondering, how do I get one of those beautiful, awesome bags? I'm going to tell you. All you have to do is, if you haven't done so already, is there's a table right there, right at the entrance or at the exit, and they're going to have a little, just three questions. We just want to know who you are. Fill that out for us if you would, be so kind, and we're going to make sure you get one of those beautiful bags. And in each bag is some really nice prizes, and so we definitely want you to have that and take that home with you, okay? So please stop. If it's your first time, fill out this little form, and you'll get a beautiful gift. Our compliments to having you here. If you are a man or young adult that's a male, I want to invite you guys to our Steak and Study next Friday. It's the 14th, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock right in the portico. So there's going to be a sign-up list there. The men are going to be there to sign your name up. It's by donation, so there's no cover charge or anything like that. And if some of the men are to be believed, they're going to have like a steak off or something like that, because I think they're like challenging each other who can do the best steak. So I'll be judging them. So come on over. If you don't know anybody, there's nothing like meat that gets guys talking and, you know, getting to know each other. So definitely come on over. The women, not to be excluded, will also be having their awesome women's group on Friday. So theirs is at 7 o'clock. They're studying the book of Galatians. And so any young lady or a woman, please come by at 7 o'clock on Friday. They're meeting upstairs, and they have a really great Bible study. All right, my last announcement here is if there's any young ladies here that are getting ready for prom, we know how prom can be very expensive. Well, we got some great news. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Not just for this, but other reasons. But because of this, because you are here, I'm going to tell you about how to get a free prom dress. There's actually an organization that's giving out free prom dresses for a school event. All you got to swing by, you got to swing by the Bridge of Faith with a school ID. If you don't know where that's at, we've got information on the TVs. If you don't know where the TVs are at, then I'll point you to them, or talk to Monique, or talk to some of the leaders here. We'll make sure you get the information so you can get a free prom dress for this season's prom, all right? Thank you very much. God bless you guys. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Tony. Well, good morning, everyone. Such a pleasure to be here with you. Let me address our Spanish group. Buenos días a todos y bienvenidos. Quiero comenzar pidiéndoles que si ocupan traducción, no tenemos muchos aparatos, pero si ocupan, levanten la mano y Manuel Araiza va a pasar y les va a dar uno. So vamos a tener el servicio en inglés, pero traducción en español. Si ocupan un aparato para escuchar en español, pueden levantar la mano y les vamos a otorgar un aparato para que puedan escuchar. Okay. Y tenemos un buen problema porque creo que no tenemos suficientes para todos, pero nos da mucho gusto que estén con nosotros, tanto el grupo de español e inglés. Y es un placer poder pasar ese tiempo juntos con ustedes. Good. So we got our translating headsets ready to go. For me, it's such a pleasure to be here. To celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is really a special thing. Every Sunday, We actually gather on Sunday mornings because the early church gathered early on Sunday mornings because it was a day that our Lord rose again. On Friday, we got an opportunity to, I'm going to explain a little bit what this cross is over here. On Friday, we had a good Friday service. We weren't sure what to expect. We hadn't had one in a while, if ever. And it was really well attended. And if you were here, you remember that we had that cross without the chicken wire, without any of the papers and the nails. And towards the end of that service, we said, the Lord died for our sins. He literally nailed them to the cross, it says in Colossians. And so what we did is we asked you, if you're willing, to take a paper, write down some of the things that you're struggling with, some of the things that you know God wants you to give over to Him, sins, trials, temptations. And you did. And we literally nailed them to the cross. So today what we're going to do, we added the chicken wire because towards the end of the service, we're going to complete this activity. We're going to have some flowers, different colored flowers available for you. If you want to participate in that, you want to come up. I'll tell you when, towards the end of the service. You'll grab a flower. We'll make lines on the edges. And then you will come and you will place a flower in the cross. And it's going to go from a rugged, ugly-looking cross, which that's how it was for our Lord. It wasn't a pretty, 24-karat gold cross. It was a rugged cross. He nailed our sins to the cross. But then on Sunday morning when He rose again, He shows us that He paid for those sins, that the payment was accepted by God the Father, and that old rugged cross becomes something beautiful for us as Christians. And so that's going to complete our cross activity. We'll do that towards the end. But we're happy to have you. This morning, I want to celebrate communion with you. So if you want to celebrate communion with us and you did not grab one of these on your way in, you want to raise your hand and we'll have somebody swing by and give you one. There's a lot that need it, so we're going to give you an extra minute to come around and grab it. Just raise your hand and we'll come around and grant you one. Si no alcanzaron audífonos y necesitan traducción, mi sugerencia sería, y no es lo ideal, pero mi sugerencia sería, Salvador Jr. está ahí atrás, a mi mano derecha, en la esquina atrás, y él está traduciendo. Si va a ser gran problema el idioma y quieren escuchar en español, pueden ir allá atrás y sentarse cerca de él y van a escuchar la traducción sin los audífonos. Esa es otra opción. No ideal, pero algo. No queremos que no entiendan el mensaje. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26 as we prepare to take communion here. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Corinth. And he's giving them sort of instructions. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And then as we do that, we will take communion together. What we do every Sunday is we celebrate, we remember what Christ our Lord did for us on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself institutes this Lord's Supper. He says that we should do this as often as we get together in remembrance of Him. And so we remember what He did for us, but we also proclaim what He did for us. And then you're going to see right now on the reading, he says, Paul tells the church in Corinth to do this in remembrance of Him until He comes. And so right in there is the idea of a resurrected Christ. Not only did He die, not only are these elements representative of His death on the cross, but then the fact that we do it until He comes implies clearly that He is alive and He is coming back. So listen to this. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" So if you peel back the first layer and you take this bread that represents the sinless body of our Lord Jesus Christ that hung on that cross on our behalf, let's take it together. If you want to peel back the second layer, that reveals the juice, that represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very payment for our sin. Paul continues and says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's take that together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this wonderful morning. We're so grateful for everything that you've done, all that you are. We're blessed in being found within your purposes and your plans, as your children, as family. I want to thank you for everybody who's here. I'm grateful for those joining us online, perhaps. We pray your blessing upon everyone. We pray that as we remember your sacrifice out of love to give up your only son, our Lord Jesus, to die that shameful and painful death on the cross for us, we're grateful and we thank you. Our Lord Jesus, we come to you with grateful hearts for the sacrifice that you were willing to make on our behalf. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power, for your leading, for your instruction. We pray that this morning everyone will be blessed in having been here, having raised up our voices in gratitude and adoration to you, in being able to spend some time in your word and in fellowship. What a privilege to be here on earth with a spiritual family. I ask your guidance and help. We thank you in the wonderful and matchless name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing to be able to gather on a beautiful Sunday morning. It's really encouraging to see all of you. You know, every time we have to pull out more chairs and extend our back wall a little bit more, and we still have to put more chairs, that's a wonderful blessing, so I'm glad to see everyone here. I know some of you maybe haven't been here for a while. A lot of you are here for the first time, and just know that we're grateful that you're here. In our prayer constantly, myself and our leaders, our elders, our elder board, is that God would use us, is that the Lord would use us to be able to disciple people, that the Lord would use us and that he will be pleased in saving many through Crosspoint, through the proclaiming of his word and the gospel, and then that we would be able to grow together and that he would use us mightily for his glory. And so you're part of that. You're part of that, and for that we're grateful. And it was kind of, I don't know if heavy on my heart, but present in my heart this morning just to thank all the helpers. There were people here from, I think, 7 in the morning, 8, 9 o'clock, prepping stuff, from the food that you got a chance to enjoy, to setting up, to all kinds of stuff. Our AV team, our worship team. I just want to thank all of you. Know that we appreciate all that you do. The fact that we're able to do this as a congregation is because of you. And so I want to thank you for that. And I want to just encourage you to now relax and enjoy this time that we're spending with one another in God's word and with him. So this morning I want to share a message with you entitled Risen from the Dead. Risen from the Dead. I want to read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. The main point this morning that we're going to look at is that Jesus Christ, our Lord, rose from the dead to the glory of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead to the glory of God. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to share 3 points with you in just a little bit. But let's take a look at Luke 24, verses 1 through 12, and one of the renditions, this is Luke, who is the author of this gospel, and this is how he is able to transmit the story of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll spend some time on that. So Luke 24, verses 1 through 12, listen to this. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths laying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. That's one of the versions of the resurrection on Sunday morning. For us as Christians, Resurrection Sunday is a very special day. We get to celebrate and remember the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ on a Friday was murdered, was beaten. We talked about this. Falsely accused, betrayed by a good, close, quote-unquote friend, rejected by people close to him, rejected by the religious leaders, and then he was abused. They spat on his face. They punched him in his face. They plucked out his beard. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They mocked him. And then they crucified him. He hung on that cross for us. That's a clincher. The question is, why did he do that? Why did he allow himself to go through that torture, through that shame as he hung on that cross naked, through the pain, through the shame of being rejected, ridiculed? And this morning, if nothing else, for us to be able to remember and acknowledge the fact that he did all of that out of obedience to his Father, but for your and my benefit. For me, it was around eighth grade when all of these truths that I had learned as a child became a reality. For years, I had heard that Jesus had died on the cross, and I never doubted that. I don't think there was any reason in my mind to doubt that as a child. But right around eighth grade, I began to realize that Jesus had not only died on the cross for the sins of the world, but that he indeed hung on that cross for my very sins. And that is that personal connection that we long to have everyone understand and have. That God is not just this cosmic force way out there, but that indeed is a personal, relatable individual who created all of this, and at the crown of his creation is human beings, you and I, created in his image with the intent and desire to spend all of eternity with us and share all that he is with us. Then came in sin at the garden right from the beginning and separated us from a holy and perfect God. Sin being on the way, the Lord, right from the beginning, had promised, and even before that, there was a plan already had been set in place that there will be a Redeemer, somebody who would take our place at the cross. And that happened some 2,000 years ago. We don't follow fairy tales, beloved. I know there might be people, perhaps even here, but people that you know that maybe are mockers, that don't believe this story, don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus, certainly don't believe in his death, burial, resurrection. And what we do is we pray for them and we love on them. And we understand that, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And only by God's grace is that message of the cross not foolishness to us, but we realize that it is the power of God. It is the message, the gospel, the good news of salvation that has the power to illuminate our dark hearts, and to give us an understanding that though we are sinners, Christ died for us, and the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross says to the Father, Father, forgive them who are crucifying me, mocking me, and rejecting me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He tells the thief next to him on that cross, the criminal, says, today you will be with me in paradise. The Lord, even under that excruciating pain, was concerned not about himself, but about the people around him. And looking forward, he was concerned about you, and he was concerned about me. I don't know about you, but that fills my heart with gratitude, with love, purpose, value, as I identify myself as a child of God by his grace. And so today we celebrate this risen Lord, the fact that he died for our sins, but on a Sunday morning, early in the morning, he rose again. And so he's risen from the dead. We're going to look at this message. Jesus Christ, our Lord, rose from the dead to the glory of God. We're going through the gospel according to Luke. You know we're in chapter 15. We're going to be starting 15 next week, Lord willing. And so we're definitely past the halfway point. So maybe another year or so we'll finish with the gospel. But I think it's been a blessing. I hope it's been a blessing to you. So we're skipping forward to chapter 24 to take a look at the resurrection. And we'll revisit that next year as well. Probably we'll be right around that area. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want us to be able to come to church. I hope you're blessed. I hope you're blessed just seeing everybody, getting a chance to say hello. If you came a little bit early, you said hi to people, and maybe you met some new people, or you saw people you hadn't seen before. Perhaps you enjoyed some of the pastries, the coffee, the great coffee that we have. I understand that Crosspoint has some of the best coffee in all of Whittier. Is that true? I'm actually not a coffee drinker, but I might repent of that and turn into the dark side. Dark coffee? I don't know. Maybe not. But maybe you enjoyed some of that, and we do it so that we can come as a family to a church service, but somewhere where you can enjoy some fellowship. It's really important for you to connect with people. If you're here, you know, obviously if you're here by yourself for the first time, or, you know, you've only been here a couple of times, it's understandable, but we encourage you to connect with people. We encourage you to come out of your comfort zone, or maybe you are a social butterfly. Know that there's a lot of people here in our church that I look forward to having you meet. Whenever we have somebody new, I meet them, and right away in my mind, automatically, I want to introduce them to all of you, to the rest of you, that they will get to know you and see the wonderful people that we are as redeemed people. So I'm really glad you're here. But also, not only do we want you to enjoy your time here for the various reasons that I mentioned, but also being able to sing together with our worship team, I think is very special. And, of course, spending time in the Word. And that's what I want to do. That's what I get to do. It's my privilege. It's an honor for me to be able to open up God's Word and share from it these truths. So I hope you're blessed by that as well. So let's spend some time in the Word talking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically, I want to share 3 points. That is, Jesus rising from the dead means... What does it mean that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? It means a lot of things, so I'm just going to share 3 things. But the first thing I want to share with you is that Jesus rising from the dead means that Jesus is who he said he was. You know, in verse 7, when the angels speak to these women, it says, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 6 says, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? And we've already seen a couple of those instances as we've been going through Luke, that the Lord Jesus Christ over and over did not fit the idea that most of his even followers had in mind for the Messiah. And the Lord would tell them beforehand, hey, by the way, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die. And for some reason, the apostles and everybody that heard the Lord say these things prophetically would either brush it off, or they didn't understand what he was saying, to the point where when things started happening, when he was betrayed, arrested, and crucified, the apostles, his very core group of followers, not only did not understand, but they were confused, they were disappointed, They were ready to throw in the towel. To the point where the women go back and tell the apostles and say, hey, obviously they were very excited and maybe they weren't making a whole lot of sense and they were overly excited as they were sharing these news. But it says that the apostles didn't believe what they were saying, that they were hearing the women, what they were saying about, you know, we went to the tomb and he's not there, he's risen. And they were assuming that they were just making things up. These are the apostles, the very followers of our Lord. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ rises from the dead, it proves that Jesus is who he said he was. Because over and over he said about himself things like John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, how odd would it be that the Lord would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and then he would be crucified, he would die, and he would stay dead. That would have been very perplexing, very troubling, very problematic. But the fact that he rose again proves that Jesus is who he said he was. Listen to John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. Very important. No one takes it from me, he said, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. The Lord said, I am a good shepherd. I'm going to give my life for my sheep, and I do it voluntarily. Jesus died on that cross. He was no victim. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he allowed that to happen to him voluntarily. And he says, I have the power not only to lay down my life, but I have the power to take it again. And on that Sunday morning when he rises from the dead, he proves that he is who he said he was. And then John 11:25, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Martha. This would be Lazarus's sister. Lazarus, who was dead in the tomb for 4 days and stank. And then by the power of his word, the Lord Jesus Christ resurrects him. It is that conversation with his sister, Martha, that the Lord Jesus Christ says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. What if he hadn't resurrected? Martha would have said, wait a minute, he said he was a resurrection and the life, and that if anyone believes in him, even though they died, they will live, but he stayed dead. Aren't you glad that he rose again? I know I'm oversimplifying things here, but I sure am. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I know about the resurrection. I can resurrect. He said, I am the very resurrection. I am the very life. And thus, death could not defeat him or hold him down because he is who he said he was, God in the flesh. That is what Jesus rising from the dead means. But it also means a second thing. Jesus rising from the dead means that death was defeated. Death was defeated. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It also says that we're all sinners and therefore fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, you sin because you're human. And therefore, as a consequence of that, as God's perfect judgment, you are to be separated from God. You are to die. And from the beginning, when Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit, you know, had they not eaten of that fruit, they would have lived forever because they had God's perfect life in them without sin. But they did. They ate, and thus sin entered the world, Paul explains in Romans. And since we all come from Adam and Eve, we are all born with a human, sinful, fallen nature. And because we're all sinful, we all deserve to die. Death speaks of separation. And that is why everybody, beloved, from Adam and Eve, everyone that has been born into this world has gone through this process of dying. And you scholars, Sunday school graduates, you're like, what about Elijah and Enoch? That's right. With a couple of exceptions, because of God willing it to be that way. Other than God's miraculous intervention, everybody that has been born into this world dies. And every one of us, 7 billion people on the planet alive right now, are also going to come to a point where this life is going to expire. Isn't that amazing? Not in a good way. I find it amazing. We all have that in common. We're all going to die one day. You know, we're thinking that might maybe later, better than sooner. Sure, nobody's like exactly looking forward to it, but that's a reality. But as Christians, we need to understand that because Jesus rose from the dead, death was defeated. Death no longer has a hold on you. And what a release of fear when you come to this understanding. You know, last time I checked, death is still the number one thing that people fear in this world. Understandably so. We should be afraid. Especially if you don't know what's out there. Especially if you know that you haven't made peace with the very one that said, if you sin, you will die. That will be God, who's a perfect judge. But don't forget that he's not just perfect in his judgment, and he cannot allow even the smallest of sins to get by unpunished. But beloved, you need to understand that what happened at the cross happened for you. And what happened at the cross is that Jesus Christ, the holy, perfect God in the flesh, took your place. And he took upon himself the sin of the world. But forget about the whole world. Understand that he took all of your sin and he nailed it to the cross, your past, present, and future sins. He absolutely knew you. He knew you were going to be alive some 2,000 years later after his crucifixion. And he knew that you were going to hear the message. He knew everything you were going to do. He knew everything you were going to say. He knew everything you were going to think. Every bad deed, every wrong motive, everything you should have done but didn't do, everything you should have done right and good and you didn't do is also sin. He knew all of that. And he still took upon your sin voluntarily. And he nailed it to the cross. But he rose again, proving that that payment had been accepted. And thus, death was defeated. I don't know if you're scared of dying. Let me confess here. Let me see. Where am I at? I remember as a child, as a kid, being scared of dying, of course. First time you hear somebody passing away, it's like terrifying. What do you mean? Most of us were children when we first heard of somebody dying. Or maybe you go to a funeral service and your parents take you there and boom, there's the body. And you're like, what? I'm sure we all have that memory etched in our mind of when we first heard about death or confronted death or whatever. And how scary and confusing that was. To the great majority of us, there might be one of you saying like, no, I kind of. But I think for most of us, naturally, we fear death. But then as a Christian, you have to realize that death speaks of separation, that death is something normal, but it's only normal because of sin. And then you realize that God became flesh, that he lived a perfect life, and then he voluntarily offered his life as a payment for yours and mine. And then you realize that he rose again. And then you see things like, you know, him saying that he is the resurrection, and if you believe in him, that although you will die physically one day, that you will forever live and you will be resurrected. And thus death is defeated. And part of being a Christian is, you know, I in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That if the Holy Spirit is in you as a Christian, every Christian has the Holy Spirit in them. And as such, there should be fruit. There should be evidence of this Holy Spirit, God himself in you. And there should be fruit, evidence. And some of this evidence is love, joy, peace. And I'll end at peace because I don't know how you can be a Christian and not have peace. Or I don't know how you could be a person without the Holy Spirit and you have peace, knowing that one day. And the thing about death is, like, you never know. Like, We would all like to think that we're going to, you know, someday retire if you're not there yet, and then enjoy your retirement for 20 years or 30 maybe, and, you know, maybe die when you're, I don't want to offend anybody, 150 or whatever, you know. We all tend to think that, even if it's in the back of our mind, but then at the same time, we all realize that the reality is that any of us can pass from this life any day under a variety of circumstances for any reason. And it's good for you to analyze your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how healthy you think you are or are, how much in shape you are, where your sugar level is on check, and your cholesterol and your whatever it is. You have to realize that the reality is that we just don't know when our last day is going to be. And that's fine. I don't think that I would want to know. We live every day in dependence on God. But for a Christian, it doesn't matter. And this is difficult. But for a Christian, it doesn't matter how long we live here. See our Sunday school graduates here. How old was the Lord Jesus Christ when he died? 33. What a shame, right? In the prime of his life. You guys remember when you were 33?
Yeah.
You see, if you remember when you were 33, you remember with a smile. Like, yeah, I remember when I was 33. Good times. They're gone, but good times. But the Lord had something to do, and he did it at 33. There's no shame in that. He didn't lose out on anything. His cousin, John the Baptist, died before he did. He was decapitated, so he had to be 33 or even less, probably around the same age. What a shame. No. What about Stephen, this young man, first martyr of the church? What a shame. No shame. No shame if you believe that this temporary life is only but a stepping stone. No shame if you understand that eternity cannot be compared to this 100 year lifespan. But I know it's difficult because we like it here, right? And then we can't see the future. We don't know exactly what heaven is going to be like and being in his presence. And you have to trust that it's going to be far better than the best time you've ever had here. Heaven is going to be better than that. But you have to believe it by faith. And you have to trust his word, what he says. Death was defeated. 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul says, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What did he do? When Christ appeared and he gives his life for us, he abolishes. It renders death incapable of functioning the way it used to. It is abolished, done away with. That is what Christ did at the cross. Hebrews 2:14 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Christ himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who hath the power of death, that is, the devil. Through Christ's death, he destroys him, the devil, who had the power of death. What a paradox. Jesus hanging on the cross, God in the flesh hanging on that cross and breathing his last. And he says, Lord, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathes his last. God in the flesh, dead on a piece of wood. Unrecognizable. Naked. Bearing our shame and our pain. After hanging on that cross for at least 6 hours. And he did that all for us. Why? That he would defeat, abolish, destroy death and him who had the power of death, that is the devil. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, 1 Corinthians 15, known as the chapter of the resurrection. Paul says, quoting the Old Testament, it says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" He says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." People saw Jesus dying on the cross and they felt sorry for him. And indeed, physically speaking, I'm sure we wouldn't have been able to help it, but to feel bad for him hanging on that cross. And yet, on that cross, naked, bleeding, unrecognizable, he was declaring publicly his victory over death, sin. And he did that for us. But in doing that, he defeated death. Jesus rising from the dead. Third point is that our resurrection is guaranteed. Let's be a little selfish here. You know, all of this is done for God's glory. Sometimes, especially in our modern church, we kind of tend to make things about us. And yes, Jesus loves the world, and we are special to him. But we have to be careful that we don't make it about us. Because we're not the important ones. Christ is. And our glory is not to be considered, but God's glory. But our resurrection is guaranteed. Within God's plans and purposes, there you are. There we are. There is the church, the bride of Christ. And you and I are the church. We don't come to church. We are the church, and the church gathers. It's a very special thing we got going on right here. And so Jesus rising from the dead means that our resurrection is guaranteed. Beloved, you will not die and stay dead. You will not die and cease to exist. I have seven verses that I'm just going to rapid fire at you. I wanted to do like 20. But I figure by the time I get to this point, our time's going to be up, and indeed it is. But it's Resurrection Sunday, nobody's in a hurry, right? Jesus rising from the dead means that our resurrection is guaranteed. Colossians 2:12, listen to this. "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." By the way, we have a baptism today. Isn't that awesome? That's right. We can applaud for that because somebody getting baptized is taking a step of obedience, is publicly declaring their faith, and we're all able to see a person who has understood the gospel, that we were sinners, and yet Christ died for us, and we identify in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And all of that happens in a water baptism is a picture of what happens spiritually with us as we identify with Christ's burial, death, burial, and resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." He who raised Jesus from the dead, the Father, will also raise us. That is Paul telling Christians. Paul again in Romans 8:11 says, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Beloved, there's literally dozens and dozens of verses like this that speak of the fact that Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. 1 Corinthians 6:14, "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." Romans 6:5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Let's get an amen after we read these verses. All right, hold on. Let me read that one again, and then everybody's going to say amen, unless you don't really like what I'm reading here. Romans 6:5 again, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. John 6:40, and this is the will of him who sent me, Jesus said, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Tons of verses like this in the Bible. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ today. And, you know, I know we do it every Sunday, and yeah, it's special. It's evident by the fact that you're all here this morning. Some of you even got your nice clothes like I am. See that? You saw that? We realize it's special. But don't let it ever get old. Christ's resurrection is something that we can celebrate only once a year. It should be the very thing that motivates us to get up in the morning and to face a day, no matter what might happen, to know that our risen Lord lives in us, and that because he lives in us, we too, when this time is up, will only graduate to continue living forever, but no longer in this mortal body that gets sick, that gets injured, but with a perfect resurrected body. I'm looking forward to that. The more you grow closer to the Lord, the more that becomes a clear reality in your life. It changes your life. And I wanted to end with Colossians 3:1 because it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. See, our resurrection, spiritually speaking, doesn't happen when we die physically. We are already raised with Christ. You understand that? A Christian is not somebody who's going to wait. We're not waiting for this body to die so that we can now get a hold of eternal life. We have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. While we're in this earth, we have eternal life. We've been redeemed. We no longer bear the shame or the penalty of our sin, thanks be to Christ. But then we still have this body. We still have this mind. And there's a war going on. There's a battle in your mind. The flesh wants you to obey the flesh, and the spirit wants you to obey the spirit, and there's a battle. But one day, but we have eternal life. We have been saved. We have been forgiven. We are already children of God, but something special is going to happen when this mortal body is done away with. We're going to inherit a new one, and that's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. So, since then, you have been raised with Christ. It says, then set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Since Christ has been raised, since we have been raised with Christ, we are new creations. We're a new creation, and therefore we are to now set our mind, focus on, and our hearts on the things above, not the things on earth. And that's the battle that you and I get to wage every day when we leave church and we get distracted by the things of the world and we begin to be tempted by the things of the world and we want to be like everybody else and enjoy the things that other people enjoy and thinking that that's going to bring us happiness and not understanding that a close, intimate relationship with Christ is all you need. But that's what we have through Christ, because Jesus Christ rising from the dead means that he is who he said he was, God in the flesh. It also means that death is defeated, and it also means that our resurrection is guaranteed. Amen. I'm happy to be able to share this message with you. Amen. Praise God. You're invited to continue to grow with us as Crosspoint. It's an honor, it's a privilege, it's exciting to see all of you here. Connect with us, connect with the church. We're on break with our growth groups right now, but they're going to start up pretty soon next month. Our desire is for us to grow together, is for you to understand better who you are in Christ, who He is, what He has done for you, and what He offers you. The best is yet to come for all of us, no matter where you're at. So let's look forward to that. We still have a lot of things going on right now. Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. We're going to have our worship team come up. And then as they do that, we're going to have our flowers ready to go. I don't see them unless those are it right there. Ah, perfect. Those are it. Oh, these are it too. Okay, so let's get that going too, because what we're going to do as our worship team, they have two more songs. So here's what's going to happen. As they start playing, we're going to invite you to come up. Even if you didn't do this on Friday, still, your sins are covered by the blood of Christ at the cross. So if you want to participate in this activity, as they start playing, we're going to make some lines and hopefully go out to the edges. And then you'll grab a flower and you'll place it in the cross. We're going to put this cross right in the middle. Let's do that now. So we're going to put that cross right in the middle. And then from the both sides, you guys will come up, grab a flower, and then put it in the cross. At the end, hopefully it's going to look beautiful with, you know, covered in beautiful flowers. And then after the first song, I'm going to come back up here. We're going to invite you to come up if you want prayer. We're going to have the elders come up, a couple other people, couples to come up. And, you know, it's a wonderful time, Resurrection Sunday, to just come to the Lord, whether it's to confess something or just to get something off your shoulders and off your chest to say, I'm struggling with this, or this is happening, would you pray with me? So we'll get a chance to pray with you. We'll have several people up here. Once we're done with the cross activity, we'll finish that, and then at the last song, we'll invite people to come up for prayer. And then after the last song, we have our baptism. So we're going to ask people to go to the next building and witness that baptism. And then lastly, we also have pictures. Don't leave before taking a family picture or individual picture with someone. God bless you.
Ven ante,
So I think that cross speaks of the beauty of the resurrection, that old rugged cross taking our sins, our shame, our pain, and on Resurrection Sunday, with Christ's resurrection, we are created new creations, covered by the blood of Christ and his beauty and his righteousness. So thank you for participating with that. So I'm going to ask the people that are here that can pray with others, if you want to come up here, so you guys are make yourself available to pray. Our elders, some of our maybe growth group leaders, ministry leaders, if you will come up here, just make yourself available to pray. Esas personas van a venir para acá enfrente, están disponibles para orar con ustedes. Y ahorita Nuestro equipo de alabanza va a tocar una canción más y durante ese tiempo les pedimos si quieren venir enfrente y que alguien ore con usted, por usted o con usted, pueden hacer eso. So our worship team has one more song as they're playing. We're going to have you come up, and if you want prayer, if you just want somebody to pray for you, if you want somebody to pray with you, we invite you to come forward, spend that time here near the cross in the front while our worship team plays their last song. Once they wrap up our last song, then we'll all go over to the other building. We'll have our baptism, and then after that, we can take pictures, hang out, finish the rest of the food, and whatever else you want to do here. I will pray at the end after the last song. So please come up. Pasen enfrente para orar.
Signs and wonders from above. When you poured out your Spirit on the old and the young, in the power of your presence, Holy Spirit, rain falling like a flood, break upon my as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire, burn within my soul as I call on your name. As I call on your name. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit rain, falling like a flood. Break upon my praise as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit fire, burn within my soul as I call on your name. As I call on your name. As I call on your name, Jesus, 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 as I call.
Again, we're grateful for all of you for having joined us in this very special service. I hope that having been here would have been a blessing to you. As I was just getting ready to come up here, I was thinking we're going to have a baptism, but we don't have to have just one. Water is ready. Can't promise that it's warm, but I was thinking this morning, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch, when he gets evangelized by Stephen, and he says, hey, there's water right there. What prevents me from being baptized? And Stephen says, like, well, nothing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's died, was buried, and rose again for you? I'm paraphrasing. And he says, yeah, I believe. And he says, then there's no reason why you can't get baptized. And so if you know you should be baptized and you haven't been baptized, I would strongly encourage you to take that step of obedience. The Lord commands us to be baptized, to identify ourselves in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so there's never a bad time to be baptized. If you believe God will have you baptized this morning, just come, let us know. But we'll end with the word of prayer here. I invite everybody to go to the east building, and then we'll do our baptism there, or baptisms, depending on how the Lord leads. And then after that, we'll hang out and say hi to one another, finish those snacks. And I think there's still coffee left. You guys don't drink coffee at noon, do you? You do. And thank you for being here. You're an encouragement to me. You're a blessing to me, to one another. Just know that. Our Spanish group, I know they, you know, kind of get a little left out sometimes because of the language barrier. Pero a todos ustedes que están aquí acompañándonos, nos da mucho gusto que nos acompañen. Son una bendición para nosotros. Esperamos que este servicio haya sido de bendición para ustedes. Vamos a tener bautismos. Uno, pero no tiene que ser solamente uno. Si tú sabes que Cristo ha hecho una obra en tu corazón y quieres públicamente declarar tu fe en Cristo, entonces te invitamos a que seas bautizado. Vamos a ir al edificio de enfrente. Vamos a orar. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful. Praise, glory be to you for your redemptive work through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This perfect and wonderful plan that we cannot comprehend, but that you established even before the foundation of the world, that one day you would see us redeemed by the blood of Christ, that we would find ourselves in your plans and your purposes and your family. What a privilege. I thank you for everybody who's here. I'm grateful for the cross of Christ. I'm grateful that you took all of our sins, Lord Jesus, and you nailed them to the cross. But then, after having paid for our sins, you took your life back on that beautiful Sunday morning when you resurrected from the dead. We thank you for the promise that we possess of the assurance of one day are seeing ourselves resurrected for all of eternity. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, for your power, for the work that you've done, continue to do, and promise to do in us and through us. I thank you for Jesus, who's going to be declaring his faith publicly this morning and his commitment to follow you, Lord Jesus, through baptism. And if anybody here is inclined to be baptized, we pray that you would move in their hearts and prompt them to do so as a step of obedience to you, Father. We're grateful. We thank you. We love you. And we pray all of this in the precious and mighty name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, beloved.